Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
College football analyst for PFF. He joins us every Friday at 8 o'clock, and his name is Max Chadwick, and he joins us now. Max, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are, it is a newfound happiness over this city. Maybe not for me directly, but over the city with the signing of Joe Flacco. Basically, everybody reimagining and rekindling the love that was here in 2023.
Yeah, it makes sense, right? He had that magical run when Deshaun Watson went down with an injury. Well, obviously, led them all the way to the playoffs even. So it makes sense that Browns fans are happy that he's back. I don't think obviously answers the question who the starting quarterback's going to be that much. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do on draft night. But definitely is a fun signing for sure.
Let's start Joe Flacco, Max. If you look at him over the last couple of years, in 2023 behind a really good Browns defense, and last year alongside Anthony Richardson, is that a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL still right now in his current state?
I don't think so, unfortunately. I think in a pinch he could start some games for you, but if you're going into the season with him as your week one starter, I think that's an issue, right? So I don't think he's a starting caliber quarterback. I think he's more of a backup quarterback who, like I said, he's experienced enough. He could run the offense that if your starter does go down with an injury, like it happened with Deshaun Watson, he could come in and fill in and play at an adequate enough level.
So let's try to read the tea leaves a little bit with the Browns. You obviously go through, you make this signing with Kirk Cousins still on the table and with a couple of other veteran quarterbacks available to you, right? Like they were rumored around Carson Wentz. That was something that picked up a little bit of traction a couple of weeks ago. And you're obviously still looking for a quarterback probably no matter what at some point in the draft. Is Joe Flacco enough to change your mindset if you're the Browns and what you're doing at the top of the draft or even down at 33 when looking at a quarterback?
Not really, no, because I think at the top of the draft, they're probably not even taking a quarterback. I would imagine they're not taking Shador Sanders. They're probably looking at either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter right now. It sounds like Travis Hunter might be the favorite there. So I look at number 33 overall then and think of a guy like, say, Jackson Dart, if he's managed to slip there. It seems like he might be going in the first round, but if he slips to 33, maybe even the trade up from 33. Jalen Milroe, another option there at 33. Maybe a little bit later in the draft, to grab a guy like Will Howard, keeping the state of Ohio. That's possible. I think what Joe Flacco does is he has a veteran leadership in the locker room. He's been around the block for a very, very long time, and playing in the NFL for, 17 years now, right? So it's been a very long time Joe Flacco's been in the league. He could teach the young quarterback, whoever that might be, some tricks, right? So I think that this is a good signing, not only because he was a hero in Cleveland a couple of years ago, but also because he could be a good veteran presence for whatever rookie they decide to draft in this year's draft.
So as you look at week one starter, I think, honestly, if you want me to lay down and maybe put on the tinfoil hat, I imagine this goes down. It comes down to Joe Flacco as the week one starter, if I had to guess. But it's framed as a quarterback competition that he wins out. It's not going to be they're committing to him for the season, right? Is even having him in the room and opening up the opportunity that you sort of quiet the noise around him and then allow a rookie quarterback that you either draft in the first round by trading back up at two, or if you take him at 33 or in the second round, you almost allow him to cook a little bit more for a couple of weeks, maybe 4 or 6 weeks, and then get that guy. Is that a realistic thing on the table? Or you think if you're drafting a guy that early, you're basically starting him right now with what's available?
No, I think especially if you don't take one at number two overall, if you take him at number 33 or late in the first round, I think you're absolutely probably going in with the expectation that either Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett or whoever, if they do get Kirk Cousins, to come in and be the quarterback for as long as possible. And then when you think the rookie is ready, or if Joe Flacco, whoever's not doing it for you, then maybe you give the rookie a try a few weeks into the season. That's probably the best case scenario for Cleveland right now. I don't know if they want to take a quarterback that I think is day one ready. Like, I think the two guys I feel pretty comfortable starting week one are probably Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. I don't think they'll end up with either of those two guys, right? So maybe honestly, it might be possible that Travis Hunter, they take a number two overall. Maybe they think his teammate, Shedeur Sanders, later in the first round, they trade up to get him because it sounds like he might be slipping a little bit. Maybe not now with the New Orleans Saints news. But, that could be a fascinating one. But, yeah, I think for sure that they could be looking at maybe Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett starting week one and then a rookie taking over later on in the season.
Max, with Joe in the room, obviously as a potential mentor, is it important that if you're the Browns looking for a quarterback to develop, looking for a rookie quarterback, that he almost emulates the style and the gameplay of Flacco to a degree? You know, like, is it basically ruling out a guy like Jalen Milroe, or is everybody still on the table? Is that something that matters at the NFL level for these guys, or is a veteran quarterback enough?
No, I don't think they're going to change their draft rankings based off the Joe Flacco signing. I think even like, say, a guy like Jalen Milroe, for example, even though he's kind of the polar opposite from Joe Flacco, that actually might be a good thing for Jalen Milroe, considering there's so much development needed with his mechanics and just seeing the field at an NFL quarterback level. Joe Flacco, you know, has that down, right? So he could be teaching Jalen Milroe, in addition to Kevin Stefanski and all the other coaches they have, he could be almost like a pseudo coach for a guy like Jalen Milroe, too, who I think needs that kind of development. So I don't think it's really going to affect them at all. And, I think they probably are going into the draft with some quarterback rankings to probably stick to after the Joe Flacco signing.
Max Chadwick, college football analyst for PFF, with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. While we're on the topic of Jalen Milroe, I did want to sort of get the insight, because he had the workout in the Browns. I think it was the Browns and the Saints both said it was incredibly impressive. How do you weigh the difference looking at a guy like Milroe, and if you're the Browns specifically, going back and looking at 2023, the connection that you had with Tommy Rees and how well he played that season versus what was a more disappointing this season in 2024? How do you balance the two and weigh it in your evaluation if you're the Browns?
Yeah, I think it's important to look at multiple years, especially if a guy's been starting for multiple years, right? Because there are times where a guy has one great year or one bad year, and you don't want to just go off that, and you know, because he could rebound from that, or he could not be as good as what he showed that last year, right, too. So I think it's multiple years of production that Jalen Milroe has that you're looking at right now. So, yeah, I think it's definitely it's a part of the evaluation process, and it should be a part of the evaluation process to see how he does in multiple years as a starter. So, yeah, I think that's probably what Cleveland's looking at right now, is both 2023 and 2024, especially with the, like I said, the Tommy Rees connection for sure.
Is it, again, it's sort of, and it's going to sound almost as a repeat question, but I think you'll get where I'm trying to like go in to push this. You have Kenny Pickett, you have Joe Flacco. Add in the possibility that you could put another veteran in there. Is that enough patchwork and piecing together to almost forego the quarterback spot in 2025 and look forward to 2026? Is that enough to get you there? And in the early outlook in the draft, is it feasible and is it worth it?
I think if you sign Kirk Cousins, it might be enough just for to get by the season. I think Cleveland, I think any Browns fans expecting to compete next year are not doing the right thing. I think Cleveland fully expects and maybe even intends on being one of the worst teams in the NFL next year. That they could tank and maybe get a better quarterback prospect next year, because it sounds like they're not going to take one number two overall. Maybe they wait for Arch Manning decides to come out next year, or Kate Klubnik, or somebody else in next year's quarterback class. That is probably what Cleveland's plan is right now. So maybe they sign Kirk Cousins. Yeah, maybe they forego quarterback altogether and they try to build up the rest of the supporting cast, so that when they are, you know, one of the worst teams in the NFL next year and they are able to grab one of the top quarterbacks next year, that they have a better environment for him to succeed in.
Max, if you're sitting there at 33 and you're the Browns and you don't go quarterback in the first round and you're getting sort of toward the tail end of that first, even if you're halfway through, more likely that you end up sitting at 33 and taking a quarterback that falls to you if you're looking at that spot, or more likely that you trade back up into the first and try to get somebody who slipped, or even just try to nab that fifth year option?
I would say it depends on the quarterback. If Shedeur Sanders is somehow falling, you know, into the teens, for example, if I'm Cleveland, I'm very much thinking about going up and getting him. But if it's a guy like Jackson Dart, that's a guy I'd rather have fall into my lap at 33 than trade up to get him. So that's kind of how I would answer that. If it depends on the quarterback. If it's Shador Sanders, I would trade up and try to, you know, go up and get him because I think he can be a franchise quarterback. But if it's Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe, I would not trade up into the first round to grab either of those guys probably.
You mentioned the Saints a little bit earlier on. I think they're a fascinating case now with Derek Carr potentially needing shoulder surgery, could put his season ability in the doubt. Is there a quarterback right now that you look at? Is it instantly Shador Sanders, or is Jackson Dart? I know they've had a lot of interest in him between Kellen Moore being basically in Ole Miss for the pro day, making sure he's there watching him. Is there a chance Jackson Dart goes ahead of Shador at 9 if it's the Saints specifically?
Yeah, definitely possible. I think the Saints, you know, any NFL team could have Dart above Shador Sanders. I don't personally, but that doesn't mean my board is the same as all 32 NFL teams, right? So I definitely have heard rumblings that Jackson Dart is above Shador on some big boards, and maybe they can surprise some people and take him at number 9 overall. I mean, if I was the Saints, I'd probably take Shador at number 9, but I definitely think that Jackson Dart is definitely an option for them at number 9 overall.
Is the Derek Carr injury enough to almost guarantee the Saints are going to be looking quarterback early on if it does come to be true and he does need the surgery? Or do you think that there's a possibility they basically sit this down, either look to a veteran or try to roll with Spencer Rattler?
I wouldn't say guarantee, but if he is out for the season, I would be surprised if they didn't spend one of their premium picks. Maybe even if it's not number 9 overall, maybe, you know, later on in day 2, if they will spend one of those picks on a quarterback, just to have something in there. But yeah, I think, and also there are another team like the Browns that they're probably fully expecting to tank next year and be one of the worst teams in the NFL. And then grab, honestly, next year's quarterback class, the Saints actually have a couple options that have ties to the franchise. Like Arch Manning is the grandson of Archie Manning, who's probably the second best Saints quarterback of all time behind Drew Brees. And then also Garrett Nussmeier, the LSU quarterback, who's also a very, very good and talented player. He is the son of Doug Nussmeier, who is currently the offensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints, right? So those are two guys, I think, that they're probably looking at next year and saying, okay, if we wait this year, build up the supporting cast, maybe next year in 2026, we can grab either of those two guys, maybe even another guy in that 2026 class.
Max, I wanted to get your insight. Max Chadwick, PFF college football analyst with us here on the hotline. I did want to get your insight because we've seen sort of the first time, at least of anything notable, that we're ever seeing this. Nico Iamaliava of Tennessee sort of deciding to forego the early spring practice sessions in what's being reported as sort of a battle of contracts going down in the NIL world. Is this good for college football in your eyes, or is this a dangerous and slippery slope now that we're entering into?
I don't necessarily think it's as, you know, dangerous as some people make it out to be. I understand the frustrations with some of it for people, but like, you got to think about it. Like, hey, a coach has an unbelievable season at a program. Immediately after, he's looking for a contract renegotiation, right? So I think it's kind of similar to that, and we got to start thinking about it like that too. So it makes some sense, but I understand how people get a little bit ticked off with it. But again, like, this is how the system is right now, and unless they make some drastic changes to the system, players should be doing this, right? They should be trying to take advantage of it and make as much money as possible. So I don't fault Nico at all for this move. It's just kind of the way the system is, and he's kind of taking advantage of it right now.
All right, Max, I'll get you out of here on this. Contracts in college football and the idea that NIL evolves into it, is that something that you could see happening in the future? And again, is it something that you would view as good for college football, or is putting a cap on this thing, again, something that maybe it doesn't pan out the best for the format that's there?
I think it's probably good, you know, because I think some people are getting upset with players leaving after 1 or 2 years for the transfer portal. And that's if you sign them to a multi-year deal, that could be good. So, yeah, I think that's probably the logical next step for college football, is to try out a contract system like the pros and see how that works out, see if any changes happen or any fixes happen in the sport. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that contracts are probably what they're probably going to be doing in the next few years or so.
All right, Max, as always, I appreciate you setting us out the time and joining us. And we're only a couple of weeks away from finally figuring out what goes down. And we'll be excited to talk to you again when it happens. And as always, next Friday. Thanks, Max.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, you heard it from Max, and Max is someone who, yes, covers college football, but you can hear just the way he talks about the NFL. He's well-informed, okay? It's not just a guy who's sitting there dialed into the college game, and then once they get to the pros, he's pretty much checked out, okay? I mean, he had the years for Joe Flacco down to a T off the top of his head. Maybe with reports today, I'm not saying that's insane, but he's got it, okay? Every time we talk to him, anything NFL, he's locked in. He doesn't think that Joe's a starting caliber quarterback in the sense you name him a starter and play him a full year. And I think that's a fair evaluation of where we're at right now with Joe. I don't know that even the people that are very high on Joe Flacco, right? Even everybody excited to have him here in town. I don't think, and if you are, I mean, 216-474-0092, but I don't know that anybody's sitting here saying without a doubt you're sticking him in the week one starter and pretty much saying, hey, barring something insane and barring you imploding, you're a starting quarterback from week one all the way until week 18. I just don't think you have that commitment to him. But I also thought it was interesting, sort of the discourse that we had around Joe and what it does for you too. Because even Max sits there and thinks, yeah, you could play him week one. He can get you through some games, more so in like a relief role. But I don't know that it really stops you from doing anything you want to do here in the draft with a quarterback. In fact, if anything, it gets you to almost the mentor level type of you take a rookie and knowing that Joe probably isn't going to be playing in the NFL for multiple years at this point. And if he is, the quality of product is only going to decrease, not increase at this point in his career. Like Joe's, again, great. He's going to get you through some games, but he is transitioning into, if you take a rookie, and while he was here, he didn't want to be a mentor, you're still going to be able to learn a ton from that guy. I find it very hard to believe from everything we've heard, just Joe talk from the time he was here and when he was in Indy over the past couple of years. I think that Joe, while he might not be dying to just sit there and trying to be helping out a rookie quarterback, he's not going to be in there and be a borderline cancer to your locker room and not help that guy develop either. So I think drafting a rookie behind him actually makes a ton of sense. And getting a guy with him as early as the first round, if you want to go get him at two, although unlikely at this point, go get him at two. If it's your door that you're dying to have and you think it's a perfect mentor, yeah. Or trade back up if he makes the fall, which is becoming almost more and more likely with the Saints. I mean, it's a balance. It's quite a coin flip between Jackson Dart and Shedeur Sanders at nine, even if that pans out. But there would be a quarterback off the board in a previous spot where maybe you wouldn't have had one. I just think Joe is there. And he's there to try to play football. And this is a football signing. This is not essentially trying to get a coach. But it is borderline player coach. And if I want to go get a guy, Joe Flacco's not going to be the determining factor. The guy that stops me from doing it. The Browns clearly have made the indication and shown you that, yes, Deshaun Watson's contract is going to play into account here in what they're doing in 2025. Knowing they're not shooting for a Super Bowl. Knowing that a playoff appearance for them is probably close to the ceiling for this team. Going out and grabbing a guy like Joe off a cheap contract while already having Kenny Pickett on a cheap contract. We got there. But already having a couple of guys on the cheap now and then potentially drafting somebody and keeping that price in the room. a lot closer to just what is left on Deshaun's contract this year and a lot farther away from a whole lot of additional money, it makes sense for the outlook of the team. And getting a guy in there to go behind him, I think, makes sense for the outlook of the team. In a development where you look at a lot of these guys, and I think you can even look as high as Shedeur Sanders and say, I don't know that I want to start him as soon as this team takes the field in September. I think you can look around and probably acknowledge and recognize that Joe would be a great placeholder for that. Get you a few games, and then once you feel like your quarterback's ready, you can make the switch. I don't see without the Browns making another splash, and potentially if they would be still in the market for Kirk Cousins and that sort of being almost the ceiling for you, I don't think that's something they're going to commit to for this full season. I don't think they're going to stray away or shy away from drafting a quarterback relatively early. If you're going to do that, you would think your move would have just been wait until after the draft, look at what you have in the room, reach back out about Kirk Cousins, and if not, well, maybe Joe still would have been on the table. Maybe you would have been able to go and get one of these other guys that are sitting as free agents, and you just roll the season with, here's the rookie we have, and we have Kenny Pickett and everybody else, and this season's already shot. But they didn't want to do that. They wanted to bring in Joe, and that's of significance because it leaves you the options on the table to pretty much do what you want. It leaves everything available to you. And I don't think signing Joe has pushed you into, oh, well, now you can't draft a rookie. Or now you have to. There's now a million more options, which is why the signing makes a lot of sense. I'm okay with him being the week one starter. I wouldn't be okay with him being your week 18 starter and having played the 16 games leading up to that. Again, 216-474-0092. Does Joe Flacco stop you from drafting a quarterback early on in this draft and even in the first round? Let's go out to the phones. Chris is in North Ridgeville. Chris, your thoughts.
Hey, Jake. It's good to hear you on the radio, man. It's always great to hear you. So they're definitely taking a quarterback. There's no doubt about it. They have to, because I don't think that conversation – I think that's the conversation they have with Miles, which, of course, you know, debate over – the conversation and the money. The money obviously played a part. But when I think about Joe Flacco coming in here, I think it's a good sign, especially for the money. But when you mentioned him not wanting the mentor, who is he going to mentor, really, when he was here in 2023? Like, are you going to mentor Deshaun Watson? Not even to mention, like, we don't know his opinion on the whole situation with him. Like, that could have just very well been like, yeah, I'm coming here to do my job and that's it. Like, you know, screw this guy. But I think with a lot of quarterbacks, when they're talking about they don't want a mentor, and you think like one of the big ones is Brett Favre with Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers with Jordan Love, I think that's sort of like a PR thing for them. Like, I still got it. I'm going to go play. And that comes with like the pay that they get in my mind. That's their value. If you're coming in as a mentor, but you still think you got juice in the tank, you don't want to take a pay cut because you're perceived as a guy that's just coming in to be the teacher. And Joe Flacco, I don't think he's at that point in his career. I think he might not openly say that coming back here, but I think he's definitely going to be a mentor in some way. I mean, you saw how he reacted with, I can't remember who the quarterback that came in during that Bengals game, the last game of the season. Like, he was coaching him up on the sideline. So I think he'd do a good job at that, but they're definitely taking a quarterback. You mentioned about Jalen Milroe. I don't know why I keep calling him Jason. I think one thing to keep in mind with him, I think he's super talented, but I think you have to look at Alabama as a whole. This past season was an absolute dump of a team, and the whole team took a huge step back, not just him. So I think there's more to that, and I mean, you can listen to Nick Saban. Obviously, you probably have about like why they took a step back. I think there's right. So many more problems with that team. And I think that Milroe actually might be a good pick, just not at number three. Definitely not. But that's what I got. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you making it, Chris. Anytime. I think there's a lot of good stuff there, Flacco. I think a lot of the stuff for Jalen Milroe, too, is just a guy who you switch from Nick Saban over to Kalen DeBoer. You switched offensive coordinators, obviously, alongside with that move. They relied on him a lot more to be the star power Jalen Milroe than they did with Saban, where he was essentially a game manager, right? He still ran the ball well. I mean, he was over 500 rushing yards in his 2023 season. He had peaked up to like the 700 and something. I think he went from like 12 touchdowns to 20 on the ground. They relied on him to use his legs a lot more and be a versatile guy, where a lot more of the flaws showed through. And a lot of that coming directly from people who cover the team and have been on the station, right? And have talked about Jalen Milroe. So I think that's 100% a valid point. But I do think your point on Joe Flacco is correct too. He's in a point where I think he's going to tell you he wants to compete, and he's going to tell you he wants to play football. And I don't know that he pulls out the "I'm not here to be a mentor" line. But in some degree, he's going to want to play, and he's going to want to have a chance to start for that job. But I think he does know that at this point, being a guy that's 40 years old, you are sort of there in bridge scenarios, right? It's why you've played for a different team each of the last three seasons, and why you weren't signed heading into 2023, because you are now sort of viewed as a bridge quarterback and a guy who can get you through a few games, but ultimately who brings 17 years of NFL experience, a guy who's been to a Super Bowl, and teams are going to look at and say, yeah, you could be a massive help, not just in what you can bring on the field, but you know what? If we have a guy that's ready to come up, and if it's a whole year he has to wait, or maybe we move on to him after six games, you're not going to be a useless piece. You're not somebody that we're looking to move off of in this season in any way. And I think that's a pretty realistic outlook for what you're looking at right now with Joe Flacco sitting there. And I think he understands it, and I think he knows that. All right, 216-474-0092. I want to keep it rolling on Joe Flacco on this idea. Can he be a mentor for a young quarterback? Could that be a large part of the reason he's brought in your eyes? Or is he here strictly to play football and the Browns are making a football move? Again, 216-474-0092. With your calls coming up here in about 5 minutes. Get a grip coming your way at 9 o'clock. Hey, it's Jake Volnick with you guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan. That's the first day of the draft. Subscribe to this podcast now at 923thefan.com on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Jake Volnick with you guys on the Fan. A lot to get into, including asking you guys at 216-474-0092, can Joe Flacco be a mentor here for a young quarterback? And he's stopping you from drafting a quarterback at two, because I just don't think that he is. And Max brought up a good point, sort of about the type of quarterback that he's mentoring, right? Because a lot of people in the discourse today were like, oh, this kind of rules out Jalen Milroe, right? You bring in a pocket passer, you're not going to get Jalen Milroe because that's not what he does. Like, I have multiple things on that front. One, Joe Flacco was a quarterback in the room when Lamar Jackson was brought into Baltimore. Lamar Jackson turned out just all right. But on top of that, to Max's point, you bring in a guy like Joe and then pair him with a Jalen Milroe, it does add in an interesting wrinkle, because there's nothing that Joe Flacco is going to teach Jalen Milroe about athleticism. There's nothing he's going to be able to teach him about using his legs. But that part of the game for Milroe is a given. He's a natural athlete. He's going to be able to go through and put up big numbers on the ground. He's going to be able to go through and put together incredible performances running the football and being a dynamic quarterback, being able to run and pass. But the thing that Joe can help him with is his pocket presence, is being on time and on target, is making sure that he gets the ball out quickly, right? And being that better passer, which we know is where Milroe needs all the work. So to me, again, it's not just that, oh, Shedeur Sanders is still on the table, which is good news to me because I feel like that's the route that we're in. But it's not just Shador's on the table, Jackson Dart's on the table. Yeah, there's nobody off the table at this point. Joe Flacco truthfully has no impact in what you're doing in the draft come April, the end of April here. In whether it's day one, day two, I really don't think that it makes a difference. It's just going to be, okay, how long of a leash does Joe have? Do you put him out there week one, right? He has an impact on the Browns' 2025 season, but not to a point where you're going, oh, we have Joe, no need for a quarterback. You're not doing that. And yeah, if you want to jump in, 216-474-0092. Similarly to Jason. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? To stay on the Jalen Milroe, since you were just talking about it, Personally, I don't think he fits Stefanski's style. I mean, that's why Watson's not working here, and that's why Baker didn't work here under Stefanski. Stefanski seems to do well with taller pocket-passing quarterbacks, not mobile, undersized quarterbacks who throw from outside of the pocket. So I'll leave it at that with Milroe. I'm not opposed to taking Milroe third, fourth round, but definitely not in the second round. As far as Flacco, I would start the season with him as the starter, Kenny Pickett as the backup, and we definitely need to draft a quarterback. But I say we wait until the third or fourth round. If Jackson Dart's there at 33, maybe think about that. But I personally think maybe go for Will Howard or Tyler, was it Chuck from Louisville in the third or fourth round. The Browns need to draft for talent. Take either Abdul Carter at 2 or Travis Hunter at 2. And best available at 33. Let's not screw this up. Let's build this roster, not just worry about the quarterback.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a bad philosophy either, Jason. I appreciate the call. I don't think it's a bad way to look at things. To me, the whole quarterback that can work in the Stefanski offense. Now, obviously, Deshaun did not work out well, but according to Stefanski, he had an idea of what he wanted him to do and how he wanted him to run it. Deshaun didn't feel like he is very accepting of that idea. So, sure. Even if you don't think that, I do think, though, that seeing him play in the Tommy Rees offense, which isn't identical to the Stefanski offense, but it's similar. It has a lot of similarities. And seeing him have success in that, albeit at the college level, I think still carries weight as you can still do it. Right? He needs to be further developed. I don't think Milroe's a guy that you can stick in there day one. Again, that's why a lot of people draw the Jalen Hurts comparison to him. Because he needs a little bit more time to be refined as a passer, the same way that Jalen did when he was coming into the NFL. And he's got a rocket of an arm. He's just got to figure out a little bit better placement, a little bit better timing, and he'll be okay. But I don't think that a quarterback that's undersized, like you bring up Baker, I mean, you were practically one play away from beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Right? Like, you were almost there in taking down Kansas City in their prime. With a Kevin Stefanski-style offense with an undersized quarterback. Now, there were obviously ups and downs of the Baker era, but you really weren't that far off. All right, we're going to react to the Guardians here as they wrap up. Before we do, I want to get out to Bobby in Brunswick. Bobby, what's going on?
Hey, so thinking about this, you know, I think Flacco was brought on to be a mentor to Kenny Pickett, and they're going to try and bring Kenny Pickett along. I think Joe Flacco is your week one starter, and you may see a changeover after, you know, week 5, week 6. I don't think the Browns take a quarterback, really, until the mid-teens. I don't think the Browns would be angry if they didn't have a great year this year. But try to get the most to fill other positions with high-quality assets. Quarterback really isn't a priority for them right now, I don't believe.
Hey, Bobby, I appreciate the call. I think that I don't know that it's not a priority. I don't know. They're definitely looking at it. You got to go a rookie at some point. But I think Joe is in there to be a mentor and a mentor to multiple guys if that's what they need. Right? Like, I think he will help and try to develop Kenny Pickett. I think that's part of the reason that he's in there, no doubt. But I think you're also probably trying to bring along a rookie. Like, if Kenny Pickett worked out and ended up being your starting quarterback and he panned out, that's great. But I think that's more of a long shot for the Browns. And just being like, if it works, it works. And if not, well, we traded DTR in a fifth. I think that's more of the view on Kenny. But again, I did want to react to the Guardians winners today and by a just magnificent performance. 7-0 over the Royals. And it feels like a little dominant to start the season. 3 out of 4 over the Royals. It feels like you almost have their number early on in the year. But let's talk a little offense with this Guardians team, okay? I'm somebody who very early on in this year has been incredibly critical of the way that they're hitting the ball. And I stand by that point. They're still incredibly difficult to watch on the offensive side. But tonight's a different story. You have your struggles up and down the lineup. You get a hit out of your top three, one from each of those guys. That's great. Beyond that, Cal Manzardo, 0-for-3, ended up drawing in a walk. Jonkenzie Noel doesn't come up. But you get Nolan Jones to get a hit in a pinch hit situation. Gabriel Arias was 3-of-4, and by the way, showed the pop, drove one out of the yard. And that's the type of thing that we're going to have to look for now a little bit deeper in this lineup. These are the type of nights that if I'm sitting here evaluating the Guardians, which I am, I'm looking for guys like Gabe Arias to be the guys to make the difference and be the guys to step up. On a 3-for-4 night with a 3-run shot, yeah, that's perfect. That's the type of night. I mean, obviously, I know you're not getting that every single night, but I need those types of displays every once in a while and a little bit more consistency from Gabe Arias putting hits on the board in order to drive it through. Angel Martinez tonight, I think that was a great addition, a great move. You saw him last year go through his ups and downs, but I think be a reliable piece that can play a lot of different positions. He was tearing it up very early on in AAA, and they made the move for Jonathan Rodriguez. And it's obviously going to be easier, I think, to work Angel into the lineup more often than it was for J-Rod. But Angel's the same piece. If that's what you need, if you need a spark every few days, especially with Lane Thomas down, I think he's a perfect piece to have in that spot. These are the type of moves, though. These are the type of days that you need to build on. I don't need to see 7 runs on a nightly basis, but it is a good start of getting together to see a more productive offense and hoping that maybe we can see a little bit more consistency. Again, if I can see better days out of Nolan Jones, Gabe Arias, and somebody else down there, like an Angel Martinez, if that's what it takes, then by all means, send me that way. 216-474-0092 to jump in. Brett is in Little Italy. What's going on, Brett?
Hey, Jake. Love the show. Love listening to you, man.
Appreciate it, man. What do you got?
Yeah. So I hear what you're saying about the Guardians. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people that I've talked to are a little bit down on them, down on the offense. And I get it. And maybe people think last year's a fluke. I don't. I know that Carlos Santana's old. But would it be crazy to play him behind plate and then let Manzardo play first base and just get some other people some DH runs? I would love to see that. I think it would help the bats out in the lineup a little bit. And I don't think Santana could have been down and play behind the plate a little bit.
Brett, I don't know that I appreciate the call. I don't know that Santana behind the plate, 39 years old. It's a little bit of a stretch for me. Like, and it's a lot of it. He can't play behind the plate at this point in his career.
Carlos Santana hasn't played catcher since 2014.
Yes, it's been over a decade. Thank you, Anthony. Just no shot. Like his knees were done before the World Series run. He was out before then. He can't go behind the plate. What I think they can do is continue to switch around Manzardo and Santana and try to bring up Manzardo into being a better defensive first baseman, but you also just want to—you don't want to pull away a Gold Glove guy there.
Could you imagine Santana trying to pop up real quick and throw someone out at second? I think you would hear a as soon as he would jump up, his knees just popping out of place, like when me and you get out of bed, our knees pop, you know, the back cracks a little bit. That's him trying to pop up to throw to second.
Yeah, it's just—it's not an option. As much as I'd love it to be from the offensive standpoint, he's too old to be there. I mean, at 39, you don't see guys at that age really playing catcher outside of, Salvi. That's about the only guy. I mean, an older Yadier Molina was still doing it. But, once you reach up there in the age, a lot of these guys still don't have it. And considering he hasn't played it in over a decade, and again, has become a Gold Glover at the first base spot. I don't think he can move him. I mean, I like it. It's innovative, Brett. It's trying to find a way to get this offense going, trying to find a way to get them into rhythm and get guys who might have a better shot some more at-bats and get Manzo playing first. It's, again, something that I like. It's innovative. It's different, but it's not going to work with Los there. You're going to have to find a different way to get a couple of these guys in the lineup. And hopefully it just comes to be a slow start, and then they get a little bit more riled up. Angel Martinez again, 3-for-3. I like a good positive pick-me-up day from Gabe Arias, and which was a little bit of a slump here after his first couple of games. And good to see that he's back on track and hopefully trending towards being an everyday second baseman and playing up to those numbers. All right, 216-474-0092. Your reaction to the Guardians raising up. Now up to a nice, clean, over 500 look. 7-6 after a 7-0 win over the Royals today. And the offense down at the bottom actually looking like they're doing their job on a night. Give me more of it. Again, 216-474-0092 to jump in as well. Coming up here at 9 o'clock, we'll get a grip. It's Jake Volmick with you guys on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.